The views expressed by guests on this podcast are the opinions of the speakers and not PCCA. This podcast is intended to be educational and informative. PCCA does not endorse or advocate any practice that is not consistent with federal and state laws or regulations. Check with your local board of pharmacy about any issues in your particular jurisdiction.
Welcome to The Mortar and Pestle, a PCCA podcast, where we discuss all things compounding and all things concerning pharmacy. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Delisio, North American Sales Director, and Sebastian Dennison, Clinical Compounding Pharmacist.
Welcome to The Mortar and Pestle. This is a PCCA podcast. Today, I am your host, Sebastian, and I am joined by two of our favorite guests, and I am going to ruffle some feathers with that, but I have Gus Bassani and Daniel Banoff here today, and we are talking about something absolutely over-the-top exciting. So, Gus,
yeah,
I can see it.
Man, it is so good to be here. Love coming on this podcast, especially for product launches, and I'm even more excited to have Daniel Banoff with us because—
He brings energy. He brings passion. He brings, I don't know, a certain level of intelligence to my
Brazilian flavor that I cannot even begin to bring. And all of the technical knowledge around this particular product in particular. So it should be a fun one.
Yeah.
No pressure, correct?
We're thrilled you're here, Daniel.
Thank you.
We can talk about information. But you developed a brand new product, and I'm curious as to where we want to start. So Gus, where do you want to go?
Wow, let's tee this up. So the new product, which I know a lot of people have heard about, a lot of people probably already know about, but now it's officially launched, is called Submagna SLHMW. SL meaning sublingual, HMW meaning high molecular weight. And it's a state-of-the-art anhydrous sublingual delivery vehicle with permeation enhancing properties specifically designed for these bigger molecules to get it across that sublingual tissue. But it's important to note that it's not just about big molecules. I've said this on stage that I believe it's one of the most sophisticated delivery systems we've ever developed. We'll get into all of that in just a moment. But while the impetus behind its development was a high molecular weight substance, semaglutide, that's what got it all started, we designed a vehicle not just for that. It's about other larger molecules and other smaller molecules as well. So I think it's got some great potential, and I know we'll get into all of it in just a moment, but really excited about it. It's anhydrous, and that's important because, you know, we know that anhydrous vehicles have an environment that lends itself to lower chances of reactivity, and you don't have the concern about supporting microbial growth. And then the other cool thing about this, and I know Daniel's going to geek out on this, is when that vehicle hits the aqueous environment of the mouth, it has that emulsifying property and that instantaneous formation into this mixed micelle liposomal system, which is so cool because it's doing it without mechanical energy, which is pretty impressive.
So let's just jump back, and maybe this is where Daniel can jump in. You said a mixed micelle formation without mechanical energy. And to a lot of people, that's a lot of M's in a very short period of time. But to me, I'm kind of like, go back, explain the science to me of what's happening here and why that's so important.
Yeah. Just to make sure that, because if I say Submagna, it's not the name because I did that. And then people are like, it's a Submagna. Oh, okay. This is my accent. But just to make sure if I do, that's not the Submagna. Submagna. I think the technology behind this product is we need to think about the challenge. Around this project or this product, because this product come to us in such a way that to develop a product for high molecular drug initial to be able to pass the sublingual to be able to has this delivery, and knowing the semaglutide that we start going to use, special the commercial name the tablet that has already a matrix to improve absorption, we start to think, okay, how we can do something to improve the permeability of this product. Knowing the log P, knowing the pharmacokinetics, knowing the large molecule of the product. And then we start to thinking and start to looking into technologies that you can guide us through this process. And interesting, everything started when I was looking for one of our old base, Lipoderm, high molecular weight. And that's the call my attention because, so look, when we designed this product for topical Lipoderm high molecular weight, we designed with the intent to deliver large molecules, and we proved that. And I think everything starts from that point. To start looking now, I needed to figure out ways to design a product to be able to sublingual. And that we start kind of, getting all those parts in the same, to get all those parts to create a picture. And I think that's the way. And that and because of that, we start to look, okay, it should be anhydrous. And then we develop, start to getting the anhydrous system. But then how can you improve the permeability of the product that's anhydrous? And knowing the semaglutide is more hydrophilic than lipophilic. And now we start to think, okay, we need to figure out a way, not just to improve the contact time, but also to improve the permeability of the product. And that's why we start developing this kind of a system, what I call a system that's more liposomes, okay? With the understand that liposomes require a higher energy. Can be a mixing or can be temperature, can be different ways that you can form those micelles. And then we start looking for phosphatidylcholine, some fatty acids, and then we start to work with cholesterol to a little bit to create that system. And one of the things our intention, because when you put submagnet in a water, it's going to create a milk. That's proved to us that's okay, that some micelles formations is going on. But what call our attention, because we did a microscopy testing and we are able to see a kind of a liposome formation without any type of water. And I think it was amazing because, okay, we create a system that has a surfactant to create the micelles and a different HLB, hydrophilic, lipophilic balance, because we needed to create a system that is not just specific for one surfactant, but a different way to create this kind of a system that we are looking for. And then we created a surfactant in conjunction with the phosphatidylcholine, phospholipids, and also with the cholesterol. But then we start looking into that. We start figuring out, okay, there's a technology created many years ago called transferosomes. Transferosomes is different than liposomes because liposomes is more a rigid micelles formation. Transferosomes is kind of when you get a phospholipids and add to some surfactants and cholesterol, you're going to create a malleable micelles. But what that means is to be able to that product, those micelles. I know you cannot see, you guys cannot see me, but I'm using
more,
my hands.
It's more deformable.
Deformable, yes. Yeah. Thank you, Gus. It's deformable micelles that when you put this into a system, that micelles is going to rearrange, conform the API. And that is important because I wanted to work with something this for sublingual. Normally, transferosomes has using for cancer therapy or topical products. But in our world compound system, we start using this technology that is a transferosomes empty, what I call empty. There's no API inside on the base, on the submagna, until you're able to add the API. And that's the beauty because since it's a malleable micelles, as soon as you put the API, that's going to rearrange into form the API and anhydrous system. But when you add water, this is going to rearrange back to a liposomes or transferosomes formation and improve the permeability of the drug.
Yeah. And what Daniel's team really did a fantastic job of is at his direction, but to kind of summarize, they created this multi-pronged approach within this anhydrous system using, he mentioned the use of various surfactants of different HLB values. Now, HLB is hydrophile lipophile balance, and in combination with phospholipids and cholesterol. And then we haven't talked about contact time just yet, but that's the other prong of this, is the longer you can keep the product around in that, on that tissue underneath the tongue, the better chance you have at delivering your payload across that tissue. And so, one of the things that your team did, Daniel, is you used a polymer, that even after, cause you know, you put the product underneath the tongue, you hold it there for a minute or so, long as you can, you know, patients are going to then swallow what's left. But then what results is a nice film formation across on that tissue, which gives you more time, more contact time, better increasing your chances of getting your drug across. So there's multiple facets to this technology that make it so cool and fascinating, right?
And it's overcome the challenge of the project. If you look at this project, it has a lot of challenge with the API special semaglutide or those type of drugs.
All of the peptides have incredibly low absorption characteristics through the GI tract. So less than 1%, which we're seeing consistently in the literature. And now you've changed it. And let me just wrap my head around it for those who are maybe not as aware of all of the science. You've taken a high molecular weight base, combined it with an anhydrous base with mucoadhesive properties. Is this what you're saying? Like, you've combined some of the best characteristics of multiple bases and turned it all into an all-in-one. And this is why it's such groundbreaking technology, because this hasn't been done before.
And it's got to be palatable because it's going in the mouth.
And right? Taste good.
It's got to taste good. And some of these drugs don't taste good.
They're
bitter, yeah. Right? And another point that you made, Daniel, I don't want to make this all about semaglutide, because the base is more than just that, but that was the impetus behind the development of it. But we were tasked with starting with the commercial product, the commercial tablet, as the starting point or as the source of the API in this instance. And there's reasons why we did that. You know, we're aware of molecular patents that are out there, and we want to be respectful of that. But when you start from a tablet, it creates some unique challenges. And you've got an existing surfactant that's in the commercial tablet, the snack that's in there, and that creates its own unique things that you guys had to deal with. So I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that challenge.
Yes, and I think that's for me was the most difficult, because now I needed to deal not just with the API, but some excipients.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And excipients can change the taste, can change the behavior of the API and everything. One of the things a lot of people ask me, hey, but when you compound with the tablets, commercial tablets, people say, hey, but it's going to be stabilized, problem of stability. No, because we haven't seen when you do the potency testing after you compound, it's 100%, which means we are able to even though using that carbon 10, the snack, to improve the absorption of the API into the gastro, but so we use that as kind of a very similar, because we are using capcaprilic, that is a carbon 10 chain, which means it's kind of similar in terms of the snack, and we use the carbon chain 10 just to act in a similar way with the snack in terms for sublingual as well.
Yeah. We've had some questions of like, how do you know that it's not just the snack that's doing all the work on the sublingual? And the reason why we know is because we had multiple iterations of this technology early on, all using, you know, the tablets as a starting point. And there were many that didn't work. We weren't able to discern anything coming across membranes.
But we're also looking outside of the semaglutide. Yeah, we're using bulk API for other formulations that we've already got published.
Testosterone,
progesterone, oxytocin, sildenafil, tadalafil. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've thrown in a few more since we've gotten going. So we'll discuss those later. The snack molecule is only one aspect of the tablets, but that's for that oral absorption. And so, we are seeing it.
Yeah.
The fact that you mentioned that there's already a grouping of formulations for active ingredients beyond just the semaglutide. So we've got a whole list. This is a much broader has much broader potential than just the GLP-1s, you know? And I think that that got people really excited about the possibilities. You know, we had a limited amount of time to develop the list that we already have in place, but that list is going to expand. And you know what's interesting? I've heard input from people saying, you know, if I can get really good sublingual delivery of a particular active and not have to go through the process of making a troche, you know, that's a significant time savings too.
Yeah.
And that's an intriguing thought.
And you know, you're talking about that because I can come to my, I think about a lot of people, because this base is a different in such a way we see sublingual, because normally sublingual is very liquid, like waterly or even like oil. This one has some viscosity to that. And the reason it has some viscosity because we wanted the product to keep longer on the time. And by the way, this longer doesn't mean, because sometimes you can feel, you're not going to feel this type of ingredient or product inside of your mouth, like it, because it's going to drill it out, but it's going to create that kind of film. And so like even you cannot see to be able to improve the support or to deliver the product through the sublingual channels. And this is something that we are looking, even with the flavor, but the taste also. And it's great taste. It has very good to improve the palatability of those ingredients. And the for me, because I know people are using before Submagnum, they are using DMSO and using different bases, using DMSO, which Gus and I, we don't like it because of the toxicity change, the palatability can affect the
tissue.
The tissue.
It tastes like sulfur and garlic. It's terrible taste.
It's a good so permeation enhancer.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful one, but the toxicity and also that change can change the palate, can change the your taste buds, can do something in a longer way. That and this base can do the same or even better than DMSO without to have the issues with the those type of excipients. And that base just makes the powder and not the powder, the tablets. And
you know, and when you were talking about palatability, here we have an anhydrous vehicle, which the carrier here is medium chain triglycerides. Yeah. Great carrier. But you know, I've said this before on stage when we launched anhydrous suspended, that you don't want a mouthfeel that feels like a mouthful of oil, right? And that sort of sensation, that's not pleasant. Suspended anhydrous has that great characteristic of emulsifying and not having that type of mouthfeel. And the same goes for Submagna. We mimic that physical attribute and the way it self-emulsifies when you contact an aqueous environment. And then, you know, add on to that this really, I think it's super cool characteristic where you just get this instantaneous formation of this these transferosomal, you know, liposomal mixed micelle type system without mechanical energy. You know, and I say that when you mentioned mechanical energy, the lack of mechanical energy. I mean, traditionally when you're forming liposomes, you need a lot of mechanical energy to get the liposomal size down and then dispersion to be consistent. And they're using high pressure homogenization and whatnot at an industrial scale to do that. Here we're just using chemistry. You know, to create this impact. And one really cool analysis, and we do have a little write-up on this, where we used this green fluorescent protein.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And we put that into the Submagna. And this was just we did this intentionally to do a visual microscopic examination because you'd use a fluorescing. It fluoresces under light, and you can see this microscopically. And what we found was just putting it into water, you know, one to one, created these beautiful visualized liposomes with the green fluorescent protein inside of it. It was really cool, and you can kind of see we've got that.
One of the things I like that because you see the picture before, in a hydrous way, like you can see like he was kind of a. He's like, how can I say that? It's like he. It's a mess. Mm-hmm. No, but when you put water, that's become like a cells or liposomes.
It was like a pattern.
The pattern, yeah. It was, and you can see the crystals before and yeah, the order. Everything was stable. Or when I say stable, that means it's uniform. I think not stable. That's not the word. The uniform is the word.
And I know you want to say something, but before I forget, we traditionally think of liposomes as having, like a hydrophilic or a water soluble substance inside the liposome. But the way you've designed this system, Daniel, is to accommodate both hydrophilic and lipophilic substances. And so there could be hydrophilic within the inside, the sphere, or maybe lipophilic in the membranes itself.
And that's the use of the surfactants, differentiate hydrophilic lipophilic balance. That's we use in high, more miscible in water. Others, that's not too low. And this is a challenge because if you change the ratio of the surfactants, and we experience that, you change the permeability. Yeah. Like you need a perfect balance between those ratios of surfactants to get a correct permeability. And we did so many testing, guys, correct? We did permeability testing, and it was a failure.
I heard about the failures, trust me.
You heard that. Resilience. I think R&D need to be resilient. Yes. Okay, failure, we're going to try again. Let's see what's going on. And so many other, until we got the perfect balance between three or four different surfactants in such a way that we can carry the product without affecting the stability of the base, without affecting the stability of the API, without affecting the taste. And I think we got that. And I think that's the beauty of this product, because to choose those surfactant was kind of the most complex, more difficult ones, because we have thousands and thousands of surfactants and we need to go to choose which one is going to be a better one for that drug.
But what are we starting to see with this product? Because we were talking about possibly an increased absorption versus what we were doing orally. Because that was a big deal, seeing this change.
Yeah, one of the things that we set out to do early on was to evaluate the ability of the vehicle to deliver, in this case, the semaglutide across human gingival and oral tissues. And so we've done a bunch of work on this in the lab. I recently from stage, when I was giving a presentation on this, I made sure the audience understood that the work, which we have published some work on this, that those studies are not dose finding studies. We wanted to make sure we wanted to look at the ability of the vehicle to get across these tissues, but the design of that particular in vitro study is not meant to establish a dose. And I thought that was a very important point to make. But it was significant in that we were able to get the drug across. And certainly early iterations of formulations that your team tested, Daniel, we clearly did not get drug across, including some of the examples that you just threw out, Sebastian. And our plan is to continue to do more work, not just on semaglutide, but other drugs that we have on the list of formulations. We're going to continue throughout the year. We're going to be evaluating more and more of these drugs in the submagna, studying the ability of that vehicle to deliver those drugs. I know there's been chatter out in the marketplace of maybe at some point there'll be some kind of in vivo work on, looking at pharmacokinetics, but this is not a substitute. Those studies are not substitutes for in vivo pharmacokinetic analysis. And I think that's an important point. Certainly meaningful, valuable research, but not an in vivo study that would be dose predictive. And so there are various doses being tried for that particular drug, and lots of different opinions on how to approach that.
I'm going to jump into this one. You have to be conservative in your initiation of dosing, and you have to start somewhere and titrate up. But we also have to respect that people are looking for a weight loss journey, and that weight loss journey is expected to have some sort of weight loss at some point. So,
Clinical outcomes and performance monitored by the doctor and the pharmacist and the patient all kind of working together. It's about personalization and really achieving specific outcomes, right? So,
just to come back to what he said, some people ask about using some other bases with some caproic acid or something like that. We did some testing and we got a zero. We tested suspended, we tested suspended hydrous, we tested nothing. And the reason is you needed to understand the molecule of that drug. And if you don't have something to improve, that drug's not going to be delivery, because you needed to see the pharmacokinetics or the P-log of this drug. It's how the molecular weight, everything related to this drug is complex. And if you just use like any other base that doesn't have a permeability enhancement like this one that we developed, I don't think you're going to get across to the sublingual, because you're going to stay there, but it's not going to go.
Now,
that we saw, correct? We saw some data we have.
Sure.
Now, I am going to reference that on the website, we do have two of these documents already available. Yep. They're under our Submagna high molecular weight sublingual base studies. There's two so far. I know that there's going to be more coming with different products in them, not just the peptides. But what else do we want to discuss here? Because there's so much more. There is so much more.
There's going to be more coming. There will be more information also coming on the physicochemical stability of various formulations. You know, the fact that it is an anhydrous delivery system, you know, allows for under 795 a 90-day dating. In a situation where you don't have data, and it's 90 days because we lump this into the oral category.
Right? We're being sensibly conservative in our observations, because people may swallow it.
We want to continue to study these, you know, looking at HPLC analysis, true stability studies, so that we can generate some good data that will boost confidence even more. That's part of our DNA to do that. So expect that in the future.
And some innovative testing that we are looking right now.
Yeah.
We never did this in compound or even PCCA, but we're looking to bring some innovative. It's going to take time because it's testing, but
Absolutely. You know, we believe that the more data that we can generate around delivery and stability, that can only improve decision making. And you know what? It's going to illuminate opportunities that we never thought about before too. You combine that data with just the ingenuity of the marketplace as our customers, members seek to meet unmet needs in the marketplace and to work with their physicians and their patients. I am consistently amazed at how innovative and creative the our pharmacist customers are out there. I'm excited to see where this goes. And then you bring in our clinical services team that are taking all these calls every day. And those kinds of discussions, the synergy. The
sharing of information.
Yeah, just all that synergy. I mean, that there's such great energy in there, you know. It's a great deal of there's a lot of professional satisfaction. I know you know this, Seb, and the work that you do every day, and just helping people solve problems. And how cool is it to have yet another tool in the toolbox to do that with,
right? Huh? It's absolutely fantastic. Like I was talking to someone about this. We were training recently and someone's like, well, how does this work? And we had this entire discussion. They're like, I can already think of 5-6 patients today. And it's just, and that's where the excitement builds is you build a very cool, useful delivery system base and everyone else picks it up and goes, whoo, how can I use this and develop it into something that I need specific for a patient that we aren't solving today?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I'm going to tell you this. I know a lot of people in different, like in pharma, cosmetic, and PCCA is innovating in such a way in anhydrous that you've never seen any company. You're not going to find any technology in terms of anhydrous system that we are designing and we are developing launch like PCCA, because it's clear. A huge technology advantage that we are developing, not just for that base, but if you start with the suspended anhydrous and goes to all those two now, it's amazing. And one of the things I wanted to say, because normally don't think about the another technology, is not just the idea behind, but also is the process. Example, we are using a polymer, which we call polycarbophil. Polycarbophil has been used in a pharma for drugs. Like it's a normal, it's a water-soluble polymer. And we are able to put the water-soluble polymer into an oil base. And that is related because of the machines and the technology that we have in-house. Because if you don't have those, what's going to see? You're going to see a particles size, big particles into the product. And this is another, people don't think about that, but it's not just the, per se the product, but also the manufacturing process and how we do in terms for designing that product. And everything was in our mind since the beginning that's developed and designed and launched that product.
And we are very proud of our base production team being able to do this. And the scale up, which is another giant step of technology and excellence. So very cool. Very cool.
It's good stuff.
Chief Scientific Officer and our superstar, Daniel Banoff, the tag team of excitement and product delivery right here with us today. So I'm going to ask if it's okay if I can share a couple of tips by using this product.
Yeah.
Number one, this is a very viscous product. You had already mentioned this. When you are doing this, you want to calibrate appropriately using different liquids and then calibrate into your final dispensing device. You don't want to be using this in a graduated cylinder because you're going to be, you have this viscosity issue. So if you have to concentrate, go up to a higher concentration, keep the volume low.
Mm-hmm. The only thing about too high, it's a taste. Can be a little bit the taste of the
product.
The product. And so it's 3 milligrams. I think 2 milligrams. This is my opinion. I'm not the formulation
chair. No. You're okay.
That's something I noticed in myself when I was trying to do that.
Yeah. And if you're reading the formula, don't sub out the flavors. It's just terrible.
And by the way, our team, Fabiana, Courtney, Jennifer, they did a great job with the flavors. We brought up a new flavor just for that, caramel.
Yep.
And it's worked perfect. I think that's something interesting because it's a challenge. And they did a lot of work to be able to overcome that type of the bitterness of the semaglutide.
Yeah, and they did fantastic. Fortunately, we all got to try the base without drug, and then we got to try it with some of those flavors. And so we were able to get feedback on that. And then lastly, if you have questions on dosing or drug development or formulations, reach out to the clinical services team. This is not a conversation we can say, this is the way. There is no single way. And we want to make sure that we answer all the questions before we get into any of those details. So,
and Sebastian, we are partners. I think if someone has an idea to work with this base, is want to talk with us, probably goes through you guys first and then come to the R&D. We are open. Maybe there's opportunity for us to do something together. Do you know, like, hey, let's test it that you are
with do we have a team? That does writing and publications.
The science and we can do. Sometimes we have calls. We have some customers that we got. Okay, let's help. What we can do together to improve or to prove the base. Doesn't need to be just for semaglutide. Can be for other drugs.
Yep,
that's something that's opportunity arise.
Do we have any other comments, or are you feeling that you conveyed everything you wanted to today?
Because you are the best.
We're going to stop there because Mike will be hurt.
Michael is the best.
Yeah. I'm sure there's probably something that we may have neglected to bring up. Who knows? But we've got a great team of people that can answer any question that comes our way. So we're just excited to be here again to be on this stage with you, Sebastian. I know we don't have Mike here, but he's here in spirit.
He is here in spirit. I just want to say thank you to both of you again for coming along and sharing so much interesting information, but really to the point, just driving compounding forward. Like the two of you have collaborated on, I think we're closing in on at least 30, 35 products just in the last, since I've been here. That's the launch number that we're at. So, and I know you've been working together for a long time prior to that. So the development and where the science is going is as a result of what you two are creating. So thank you as a community first to you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. We will see you in the Mortar and Pestle podcast. In the meantime, if you want to follow us, you can find us on all your favorite platforms and we will see you soon.